If you would take your Bibles and go to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Today's Sunday, February the 4th, 2024. You're probably familiar in Ephesians 2, where it's talking about before we got born again, that we were without God, having no hope. We're not there. We've moved on from not having God or having hope. As born again ones, we know that we're not hopeless people. Jesus Christ is coming back. And until he returns, we're not helpless either. We're not hopeless, and we're not helpless. Romans 8, verse 18, God says to us, Romans 8:18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Not worth comparing. And then down in verse 24, it says, "For we are saved by hope." That's better translated. We are saved unto hope. "But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." We haven't seen Jesus Christ. We're not up in the clouds yet. That's our great hope. And we wait with patience for it. If you would also go to Romans 12. We are not hopeless people. Romans 12:12. "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer." So right in between the tribulation, the mental pressure, is the hope and prayer. That's kind of cool in that verse. Rejoicing in hope. We can rejoice because what God has planned for us is so big. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that'll be revealed in us. We're not hopeless. Jesus Christ is coming back. And nothing is going to change that, because God promised in hope of eternal life, it says in Titus, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised. So we've got the great hope. Remember that verse? "This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Rejoice? Well, what is there to rejoice about today? Facing this, that, this. Oh, the hope. That's where we can rejoice, in the hope, not in the stuff we have to deal with, but in the hope. "This is the day the Lord's made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it." So we're not hopeless people. And while we wait for that great day, we're not helpless, because we have God's word and we have God's spirit in us. It's the word and the spirit, and they're so closely tied together. But that's why we're not helpless people. We have God's word and we have the Spirit of God in us. So let's look at that for a bit. Ephesians 6. Familiar passage. Ephesians 6. We start in verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Whenever and wherever human beings flesh and blood. It says we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. It's talking about people. Whenever and wherever human beings are doing or promoting things that are ungodly, contrary to what God says in His Word, they're either influenced or directly controlled by the adversary. That's the source behind all of the evil. In verse 11, it said, stand against the wiles of the devil, or the strategies of the devil. It says in Corinthians, we're not ignorant of his devices. Whether it's what culture promotes that's godless, totally against the word of God, governments, the guy down the street, if it's contrary to God's word, it's either controlled or influenced by the wiles of the devil. And so God wants us to know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, that it's a spiritual fight. That's the source of all the evil, the godlessness in the world. But we're not helpless people. You know, we're not in the clouds yet, where it's going to be really wonderful, but we live in this present evil world. So, you know, either take a trip to the moon and get away from it all, or we do what God's told us to do. So let's start again, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand, not cave. Stand, verse 14, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. That part of the body, the loins, that's where all the power is in the body. And it should be girt about with truth. God's word. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. That's something we put on. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Your feet take you wherever you go. So wherever you go, you have the preparation of the gospel of peace. You take the word with you wherever you go. Above all, taking the shield of faith, or the shield of believing, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation. Helmet covers your head. Helmet of salvation. We continue to remind ourselves that we are saved ones. We are born again ones. And the sword of the Spirit, which is what?
The Word of God.
The Word of God. Look at how the armor that we are told to take unto us, or clothe is another way of phrasing that, clothe yourself, just like putting a jacket on, clothe yourself. Look at how the armor, as we wait for God's Son from heaven to come back, look at how that armor is so related to the Word of God. We're not hopeless, right? And we're not helpless. And God is showing us here how to stand in the evil days, how to wait. And it's not automatic, darn. When a person gets born again of God's Spirit, they receive all the blessings that God's Word says, all the rights, privileges, abilities, but we are not clothed with automatic armor. I'm now a born again believer. The adversary can't touch me. I'm born again. It's not automatic armor. If it was, why would God say this? Put this on, put that on, put so you can stand. It's not automatic armor. And this is what God said to do. He said, be strong in the Lord. He said, put on the whole armor. And he said, take unto you the whole armor. Twice he said, the whole armor. Gird your loins with truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Take the shield of believing. Believing what?
The word.
The word of God, right. The shield of believing. What does God's word say? Take the helmet and the sword. God is saying, until Christ comes back, suit up. When I was living in Minnesota and it was 20 below with a wind chill factor of minus 30, I don't need a jacket outside. That would be silly, right? The Super Bowl's coming up next Sunday, right? What if one of the players went out on the field without his helmet? I don't need a helmet. I can run faster without all this weight on my... That'd be ridiculous. God says put on the whole armor. Jacket, helmet, whatever. What a great picture that God is painting for us. Put on the whole armor, not just part of it. And, you know, verse 11 and verse 13, he's told us twice the whole armor. And then verse 18 is one more very important part of the armor. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying always in the Spirit. That is speaking in tongues. Praying in the Spirit. We have the Word of God and we have the Spirit of God. The Word and the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit is part of this whole armor that God says to put on, clothe yourself with. In 1 Corinthians 14, if you'd back up there for a second. What a great section that is in God's Word. You know, as a parent, when kids were little, we would say, hey, you're going outside, put your jacket on. You know, because kids are, you know, young and dumb. I'm just going to go outside and play. No, you need a jacket. You're not going out there barefoot. It's the same thing. God, as our wonderful, loving Father, is like, look, suit up, put it all on. You're going to need this. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Well, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, that's speaking in tongues, and I will pray with the understanding also. I'll sing with the Spirit and sing with the understanding also. Speaking in tongues is a vital part of the Christian walk, the Christian life. It is part of the whole armor that we are to put on. Praying in the Spirit, speaking in tongues, is listed right there with that whole armor. No wonder Paul said in this chapter in verse 18 that he spoke in tongues more than you all. No wonder in verse 5 he said, I would that you all speak in tongues. No wonder he said in verse 39, don't forbid to speak with tongues. And in verse 2 of this chapter, for he that speaks in an unknown tongue, or he that speaks in tongues, speaks not unto men, but unto God. It is speaking to God. For no man understands, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. It's perfect prayer to God. Verse 15 again. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Regarding speaking in tongues, back to Romans 8, we were there a little bit ago, but speaking in tongues is for our private prayer life. It's speaking to God, divine secrets, said. But there's also something else that speaking in tongues is really important and vital for us in terms of helping other believers. In Romans 8, verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmity. That should be in the singular. Our infirmity is, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. There are many times we don't know exactly what to pray for, don't know all the deets. And sometimes we may know details, but do we know every single detail? No. And he that searches the hearts, verse 27, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because talking about the Spirit in manifestation, and here it's speaking in tongues, makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Praying in the Spirit or speaking in tongues, not only for our private prayer life, but also we make intercession for other believers. We may not know what to pray for as we ought, but we can have them in our minds and speak in tongues, knowing that we're making perfect intercession for them according to the will of God. What a great lever of prayer that is. What a great help and assistance that is for our brothers and sisters. So, we're not hopeless, because Christ is coming back. And when he does, we win, he loses. And that is set in stone. It's not going to change. And we're not helpless either. The Spirit and the Word. The Word and the Spirit. And I want to close in Galatians chapter 5, which sort of summarizes what I've been sharing. So if you go to Galatians chapter 5, and verse 5, Galatians 5:5, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. We through Spirit, there's no the in the Greek text. For we through Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith or by believing. Now, as I'm sure you're aware, the Greek word that's translated Spirit has different usages. And in English, there are words that have different usages. Somebody said, I went to the bank. Was that the bank by the river? Sat on the riverbank? Or was it the place where there's money? Different usages, same word. But the Greek word that's translated Spirit in the New Testament has different usages. In some places, it refers to God Almighty. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, the gift, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit, God, gave them the utterance. In other places, it refers to the soul of a man, the inner life of a person. In other places, it refers to the gift of Holy Spirit that we receive when we get born again. It can also refer to the manifestations of Holy Spirit. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every person. The usage of the Greek word Spirit in this verse is the whole complete package that we received when we got born again. And we refer to it as the totality of the new nature, the whole complete package of the new nature. Because we are now a new creature, right? Put on the new man, new woman. It's the whole complete package. And that means all of the rights, all of the privileges, all of the abilities that we have as sons of God. It's the totality of the new nature. And this verse is telling us this is how we wait for that great day when Christ will return. Verse 5, for we through Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith or by believing. For we by means of the totality of the new nature wait for the hope of righteousness by believing. By believing what? God's Word. So once again, we have the Word and the Spirit and the Word. They're so closely tied together. We wait for the blessed hope of the return of Jesus Christ by manifesting the Spirit. We wait for the hope of the return by renewing our minds to the reality that we are what God says we are and that we have what God says we have as sons of God. We are righteous. Isn't that what God said? Well, we need to renew our mind that God said we're righteous. I don't feel very righteous today. It doesn't matter what you feel like. You know, God said you're forgiven. You know, all of the things that we read in the New Testament, in the church epistles, that is what we put into our heads. That's what the renewed mind is about, putting into our minds who we are and what we have as born-again believers. It's really wonderful. By means of the totality of the new nature, we wait for the hope of righteousness by believing God's word. Do you see how this verse relates to what we read in Ephesians, putting on the whole armor? As a born-again one, God's word says that we are righteous in his eyes. Being righteous is part of the new nature. You know, we're not righteous because we do all the right things and pray enough and read enough Bible. We're righteous because he made us righteous at the moment we got born again. If we don't renew our minds, put into our minds that God has made us righteous and believe it, how can we put on the breastplate of righteousness? We won't. We won't feel very righteous. And you know, it's really interesting. The breastplate covers your heart. It says in 1 John, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. You are righteous in God's eyes, regardless of any screw-ups that you might have done or might do. We are righteous in God's eyes. That's what we need to have in our head, who we are, what we have. We wait for the return of Jesus Christ by manifesting the Spirit and by renewing our minds to all that we have received when we got born again. The totality of the new nature. It's all the rights, all the privileges, all the abilities that came this big package. What a God. For we, by means of the totality of the new nature, wait for the hope of righteousness by believing. And when we were singing, I thought about how 1 Thessalonians 4, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep, that you sorrow not as others that have no hope. And then it talks about the return of Christ. And at the end of that, it says, wherefore, comfort or encourage one another with these words. We're not hopeless people. And at the end of 1 Corinthians 15, where it talks about the hope of the return, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for your labor's not in vain in the Lord. And the way we continue and be steadfast is to believe what God's word says, the word and the Spirit. So being born again, how blessed we are. We're certainly not hopeless. God's promised that he will send Jesus Christ back. And while we wait with patience, it's like every day we get up and go, this would be great today. I look up in the sky and I see clouds. I'm like, there's room. Gotta be room for all of us. Can we go today? But our great joy, we rejoice in the hope. There's where our great joy comes from. But while we wait, we are in an evil world. The adversary, God's word says, is the god of this world. So we either cave or we wait by doing what God says to do. Through the totality of the new nature, we wait for the hope of righteousness by believing. God's not left us hopeless or helpless. We have his Spirit and we have his word. So Father, thank you for this wonderful word of God that we have and the great truths that are in there, and that Father, we can take those truths and put them into our brains and continue to reinforce them in our brains of who we are, what we have, what you've done for us. And Father, we can also manifest the Spirit that you've given to us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your Spirit in us. And Father, we especially thank you for your Son, who completed your plan of salvation and redemption so that all we needed to do was just believe. And we got born again. Thank you for our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name I pray. Amen.